Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting the NFL playoffs, buckle up. Betting football's hard enough as it is. We're doing the research for you, so listen to Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni and I. We'll be dropping new episodes for every single playoff game. And that's going to be storylines leading into it, so some good football stuff, but also the betting nuggets you're looking for. Sides, totals, trends, player props, throw those in there too. Pre-game and post-game, we're going to be all over the postseason. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The college football playoffs continue to roll on. It is the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima. I'm Danny Cunningham filling in for the guys right here on 92.3 The Fan. And now we head on out to the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline to bring in Joshua Perry, a member of the 2014 National Championship team at Ohio State. And now a college football analyst for NBC Sports covering the Big Ten. Joshua, thanks so much for taking time to join us this morning. The place I have to start is with the Rose Bowl, with Ohio State, with how good they looked against Oregon. And the question that I come away with watching that game is, why did that team not look like that until that game?
Well, thanks for having me. It's so funny. And I think it's kind of one of the conversations that Ohio State fans are having on social media right now, where it's like, you know, Ohio State loses to Michigan at the end of the regular season and everybody's going crazy. There's some people that are calling for Ryan Day's job. Folks are looking for changes. They're like, you know, if the team that we saw against Michigan goes into the playoffs, there's no shot. And then the Tennessee game happens and then the Rose Bowl happens. And it's like, this is why people were upset, is I think we all understood that the top end of this Ohio State team was Will Howard dealing the ball the way that he is, Jeremiah Smith being the best player in college football, and you got Emeka Buka and Carnell Tate around him. The run game starting to pop when the pass game gets going, so Trevion Henderson can break off big runs and Quinshon can get you the tough ones. And that defense causing havoc. They played Oregon the first time, didn't get a sack. They had 8 sacks in this one and 13 TFLs in the game total, limited Oregon in negative, I think, 23 rushing yards for the game. All that to say, it's like it was two different things, and I think there is that question of what happened. Some people would say that all that matters is making noise in the postseason. And so, like, you know, if you don't have your best game plan throughout the regular season, you're holding things back. Like, it is what it is. I would say that nobody is sandbagging in their rivalry game. And so there is this big question of, like, you know, did he just walk into the trap of getting out of the game plan? So, you know, kind of you weren't yourself, you didn't bring your best. Regardless of any of that, when the game plan is on point, you get a little bit extra time to prep for these games, but you just lean into where you're really good as a team. This Ohio State team is nearly untouchable. I think Texas is going to be a pretty good challenge for a number of different reasons, but I still think Ohio State, based off of what we've seen the last few games, probably can walk into that one and end up winning it by 2 touchdowns.
I think that is absolutely a possibility, and the thing that I keep coming back to is that Michigan game, because as we've talked about, that was an entirely different team. But I do wonder, say Ohio State makes a couple of field goals that were very makeable throughout that game and gets one more stop against Michigan, wins that game, goes into the Big Ten championship game. Do you think that this version of Ohio State is ever unveiled without that loss?
I think that you get a good version of Ohio State in the playoffs. So I'm not exactly sure that you get this one. Like, this is the super high urgency. We're trying to prove everybody wrong. They said a bunch of things about us that we take exception to, and we have to go out there and prove to everybody that, you know, we're the best roster, the best team, the best coaching staff in college football. I really do think that Ohio State did fall into this trap of, they've been calling us off, and they don't think that, you know, that we can play a game in a physical way and beat them. And so we're going to bang our heads against the wall. And I know Michigan folks would be like, oh, you know, we played a too high shell and we bracketed Jeremiah, and that's why. Look at what Tennessee did. Look at what Oregon tried to do. Everybody's been doing it. Ohio State had the answers for it. I think they ran into this trap of, we're going to try to punch Michigan in the mouth and we're going to run it into, you know, 2 first round D tackles. And after that game, they said, we're just not going to do that. And we don't have to do that. And we don't care what anybody says about us if we're just getting the ball to where it needs to go. So to answer your question, I still think that they would have had really good game plans. I think that the Michigan game plan was kind of an aberration. But there is this level of intensity and, like, you know, like, foot on the neck of the opponent right now that I don't think we get if there wasn't this whole, you lost to Michigan 4 years in a row, and you didn't make a Big Ten championship, and you really have to prove it to us now.
What type of challenges will Texas present for this Ohio State team?
So I think Texas is very good on defense. I like their front seven a ton. They've got guys in the interior, on the edges, and at linebacker that I think can be problematic. They're strong, they're big, they're athletic. So as we've seen with Ohio State, right, like the big question is on a week-to-week basis, is that offensive line going to continue to be able to play the way that they've played toward the end of the year, in postseason in particular? That's going to be the question there. I think they also have a very good secondary. The trouble is, I'm not exactly sure that anybody can actually guard Jeremiah. Like, I just right. don't know what the game plan is. So, regardless of how, and again, when I say really good secondary, I'm talking about, like, you know, top three, top five player in college football in the secondary back there. So, you can have that conversation. I'm just not sure it works. I think their offense is talented. I think it is very predicated off of Sark being able to call great plays. I think he is one of the great play designers and sequential play callers in college football. First 10 plays of the game, got to be on high alert. We saw what he did against Arizona State, but, you know, that first 10-play script is going to be really good. Same thing coming out of halftime when he makes the adjustments is going to be very good. But I don't think that they have wide receivers that are great at winning one-on-one outside of the play calling. They've been all banged up in the running back room. Now their offensive line room is banged up. And Quinn Ewers, for all the talent that he has, he likes to place the football. He doesn't drive it into windows. He doesn't drive it out to the sidelines. The ball hanging in the air. And I don't think any of those guys on their offense like being hit. The way that Ohio State has been playing on defense has been aggressive. It's been physical. I watched Caleb Downs come from the secondary and smack somebody in the face. Lathan Ransom is out for blood every time he's hitting somebody. Cody Simon wants to inflict pain. The same thing with Jack Sawyer. Other guys on that defense. And I think that can be the edge there. So I think this one could be a game where points might be a little bit more at a premium than what we've seen with Ohio State in the offense over the last two games, because I do respect Texas on defense. I also saw Arizona State make some plays as the game wore on because right. they were able to lean on them and grind them out a little bit. And I think Ohio State can make that their edge. I don't think Texas wants to be hit that hard early, and I don't think that they want to play the game like that.
Why do you think Texas struggled to put ASU away? Because, you know, you mentioned the opening script that Sark had, and we saw Texas get off to such a fast start in that quarterfinal game, but then you look up and all of a sudden, you know, Arizona State's making a game of this, and then it goes into overtime, and Quinn Ewers has to convert on a 4th-and-13. Why was Arizona State able to come back? Why couldn't Texas slam the door shut earlier in that game?
I feel like Texas is what people like to say Ohio State is, right? Like the narrative about Ohio State not being a tough, gritty team. I think that's what Texas is. I think that when you constantly punch them in the mouth, they don't like it. It felt like after every big play for Texas, you know, there was a guy who was like banged up, right? Like that stands out to me. Quinn Ewers will duck if he's under pressure. Like that kind of thing stands out to me. And so I do think this idea of Arizona State being this underrated team who their superpower kind of had to be them just being junkyard dogs allowed them to come back in that game. Now, once again, I got a lot of respect for Texas as a program, and in the moments where they needed to, like, they brought what they needed to bring. But I don't think that's the way that they want to play the game. Like, if they could script it perfectly, I think they go out there and they out-athlete people, and they just, you know, they paid $20 million for their roster just like Ohio State. I think they just want to let the guy shine. And so if Ohio State brings this mentality that they've had the last two games where, like I mentioned, they cracked Nico's helmet twice against Tennessee, and then in this Rose Bowl game, they were knocking guys out of the game. I think if they bring that, Texas is not going to, you know, they're not going to want to have to play the game that way.
Right, right. And then last night we saw Notre Dame beat Georgia in the Sugar Bowl to advance to the other semifinal against Penn State. What did you take away from Notre Dame beating Georgia last night?
You know, first off, I'm loving Northern football right now, and I'm loving all the narratives
Isn't
that are coming from with these matchups. But it is phenomenal because forever we had to hear people from down south, their fans and their media, just kind of turn their noses up at us and tell us that we can't play football and we don't know what good football looks like. And they tried to do it at the beginning of this playoff. And it's nice to finally see, like, our teams from this region shining. Notre Dame is so interesting to me. Great defense. They play really hard. I like their secondary a ton. They've been banged up front, but they keep rolling guys through. I like the resolve that they have. Offensively, very defined in terms of who they are as a team. And I think it mattered the whole year after the NIU loss, but in particular against Georgia. Riley Leonard is the most interesting thing to me because I think he is a great football player, but I don't think he's a very good quarterback, right? Like, you go out in the quarterfinal game, throw for 90 yards, like, really can't affect the game with his arm, and it's not all his fault. I don't think the wide receivers for Notre Dame are great. I think they have a very defined path to how they have to win games. The biggest thing is nobody's really been able to stop them, knowing that it's the Riley Leonard show and that it's going to be Jeremiah Love and Jadarian Price and those guys really getting it started there. But ultimately, I do think it's going to be a very intriguing matchup with Notre Dame and Penn State. Penn State, very good defensive front, could give Notre Dame some issues on offense. I don't think that Penn State is going to be able to attack Notre Dame secondary because I don't like the Penn State wide receivers. So it's kind of this like interesting back and forth of two teams that I think are very good, very talented, have a defined personality for what they are, but also have some like, you know, pretty obvious flaws to how they get the job done and how they overcome those flaws to try to make it to a national championship game.
So far in this postseason, we've seen every team that was favored to win their game by the point spread win their game. But that's also meant that we saw all four teams that got a first round bye lose in their first bowl game that they played as part of the playoff. What kind of changes do you think, if any, should come from the way that this postseason has gone?
Yeah, the interesting thing, and I think everybody's kind of on board with this, we got to eliminate this conference championship being tied to a first-round bye. All due respect, no shot in hell that Boise State should have had a bye. It's just, I don't think that should have been the case. And Arizona State, for as well as they played, I don't think that should have been the case either. And so when you have these teams that are not properly seeded, you have these matchups that can be lopsided or don't make a ton of sense. And so I think that needs to be addressed. The other thing that people have brought up, and I don't think it's as big of a deal as they're trying to make, is they're like, oh, well, you know, the teams who had the buys were out for, you know, they were off for too long. They weren't off for that much longer than teams that did not play in a conference championship and had to play in the first round. So I would take all of that with a grain of salt. The other thing that needs to happen, and I don't think it's going to, and as a matter of fact, I think it's going to go the other way, which I think is a shame. Give us eight teams, right? Like, I think the idea that seeds 5 through 8 are the teams that are all in the semifinal can justify this idea that the college football playoff probably needed to expand a little bit, and especially with NIL and the transfer portal, and the way that you cannot hoard elite talent to just a few teams. Those guys are allowed to move now. You do have more teams that I think are viable to win a title. And so if you expanded it out to 8, I think it would make more sense from a competitive standpoint. It would give the teams like Ohio State and Penn State in times where typically they've only struggled with the best teams in the country, like those teams have an opportunity to go pursue a title. Moving that thing all the way out to 12, it was literally like, okay, we could pick the teams that they picked, and ultimately I'm fine with the teams that they picked. But then it's also like, oh, what about this flawed Alabama team? And what about South Carolina who got beat by Illinois in the bowl game? And like, oh, what about Lane Kiffin because he wants to complain and whine? And I don't think we should ever be entertaining those conversations for teams that are ultimately pursuing the most important thing in the sport of college football, which is the championship.
But Joshua, if we cut it down, we can't talk about Alabama losing 5 games and still being the best team in the country, right? That's the best part.
You know, that was one of the most frustrating conversations to have with any. So, like, let me just break it down for everybody. This is a team whose quarterback was wildly inconsistent, but like literally will throw you 3 interceptions against an unranked team, and it's like, okay, like that's something. But then it's like, if we put Alabama in this thing, they're going to have to go on the road. They were bad on the road this year, right? Like, they could not handle it. I mean, it's not the same thing as when Nick Saban was there, but we're going to give them the benefit of the doubt because it's like, oh, here's the dynasty. And also, these guys play football in the South, and so, like, every media personality is like, they need to be in there. But Indiana can't do it, which, by the way, like, closer margin than Georgia and Notre Dame.
Yeah, no one's saying that this morning.
Well, like Indiana, the team who only lost to Ohio State and Notre Dame, who might be the two teams playing for a national title, like maybe they weren't actually that bad. Maybe they weren't, because I watched the way that Tennessee lost to Ohio State. Indiana looked much better than that team. Nobody had a problem putting Tennessee in there. This is why we need to not do what we do and have these crazy, wild overreactions. Maybe just wait and get a little bit of data and then take a step back and really think about the way that things actually happen, and then we formulate our opinions.
Joshua Perry is a college football analyst at NBC Sports and, of course, a member of the 2014 National Championship team at Ohio State. Joshua, thanks so much for making some time for us this morning, man.
Appreciate you having me. Happy New Year, and take care.
You as well. He appears, of course, on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Great stuff from him.